Good morning. I understand. I was just looking at, I understand we're going back to back, Chairman Lucas and I, so look forward to him getting his bill done and to the speaker taking it up this time and passing it so we can get it to a conference committee and get it done. The most significant thing that I can say is that farmers need a five-year farm bill. They need economic certainty. 16 million people work in this country because of agriculture. This is the biggest jobs bill we will pass in any Congress. And so it's time to get it done, and it's my hope between the farm bill, which we are going to immediately take up on the floor, and then we will be taking up immigration, that this will really be the positive 1-2 punch for producers to be able to create an immigration system that works for them and to be able to have five-year farm policy that works for them. So happy to answer any questions. One other thing I would say is it's really been a pleasure working with Senator Cochran. I had a great relationship with Senator Roberts last session, and now Senator Cochran obviously heralding from a different part of the country. But we've forged a partnership, and I feel very confident about the approach in the commodity title. The vast majority of our bill is the same as last year. In the commodity area, we know that there were concerns from southern producers last year that were going to need to be addressed. It was a question of where they were going to be addressed, and by doing it in committee now and going to the floor, I think we have a strong coalition and have really produced what I think my friends down the hall should just take as the commodity title, because it is a market-oriented approach. We do recognize that rice and peanuts specifically do not have access to crop insurance. And so we, on the one hand, we eliminate subsidies. We have major reform, payment reforms and changes that are important for taxpayers. We focus on crop insurance, but particularly for our southern growers that don't have access to crop insurance, we do give them an option that works for them. And whether it's yield loss through the ARC program or price concerns through our new AMP program, we put in place what I believe are enough tools to support all of agriculture. What's different from down the hall is we don't force folks at the beginning to choose which of the programs to go into, and which I believe is what the House will do. That's what they did last time. You had to make a choice. What we say is no farmer year to year knows what's going to happen. And so we want to make tools available, and the farmer can use whichever one works for them given their situation. And we also have done it in a way with the maximum amount of market at risk protection. It's market-oriented, so that even in the new AMP program, again, except for rice and peanuts that don't have access to crop insurance, we do this based on a rolling average as we do in the ARC program that is has the maximum amount of market connection. And so, I feel like we've kept the principles that we had last time and made a few adjustments that will support our southern growers. Yes.
Chairman Jeff Allen, Cromwell Ag Radio Network. The Nebraska senator said he voted against the bill. One reason, because he thought the savings was closer to 12 or 13 instead of 23 billion. And how do you propose to compromise the 4 billion cut in nutrition as opposed to?
Well, first of all, in overall reductions, and I think Senator Johannes, who's been a terrific member, actually had a philosophical difference as well with what was happening in the commodity title. But what we have done on savings is the same thing that our House counterparts are doing. First of all, we're not going to double count agricultural cuts. We start with the cuts that are taking place because of sequester, because that's only fair. And then we add savings to that to meet what we had committed to do in the Senate of at least $23 billion. We don't have a final score based on yesterday, but the score going into committee was actually $24.4 billion, well above what we had committed to. And part of that increase was an increase in the sequester cut. Originally, it was $5 billion, and then CBO actually estimated it's going to be $6 billion. So we have said, we are capturing the total cuts in agriculture, and will claim that. Because when you look at, if sequester is 6, and we're putting forward on top of that, you know, another 17 or 18 billion, I don't know any other part of the budget that's proposing to cut more than the sequester number, across the board cuts. We in agriculture are willing to go a step farther as a commitment to reduce the deficit. On SNAP, what we've done is approach this from the standpoint of fraud and abuse and addressing policies that have, I believe, have been involved in misuse in the SNAP program and other areas where there was fraud. In Michigan, we've had 2 cases of folks who won the lottery getting food assistance. Well, that's not okay. And so we've gone through and looked at areas of abuse and specifically prohibited it in our bill. What we haven't done is say if you are someone who's worked hard all your life and paid taxes and suddenly lost your job and are having trouble putting food on the table for your family, that we're going to arbitrarily decide that for the first time our country is not going to help you. I view food assistance the same as crop insurance. When we have losses, when we have weather disasters, costs go up for crop insurance. When there are fewer disasters, costs go down. In food assistance, it has gone up because of the bad economy. And now in this farm bill, it's going down. It is projected, the CBO is giving us savings because food assistance dollars are actually going down the way they should go down, which is the economy is getting better and fewer people over the next 5 years will be needing help. So it's going to be a tough one. So bottom line is it's going to be tough on nutrition because just cutting for cutting's sake, I don't support doing in crop insurance or any other part of the budget as well as nutrition. It ought to be based on the need involved, whether it's a family or a farmer. And sometimes it's the same thing, by the way. Yes, sir. Right.
And you really only had one issue, and that was maintaining the food nutrition program
right.
at its current level. She voted against the bill.
Right.
And others voted against it because it gave too much. Do you fear in the future going into the debate in the Senate and then again in the House that both sides meet the middle on this farm bill?
Well, last year, Senator Gillibrand voted no as well for the same reason. And we passed this on the Senate floor with the savings that we have, the $4 billion in savings in the SNAP program. So I'm confident that we can do that again. I appreciate her concern. Of the about, I think it's close to 46 million people getting help right now, the policy changes we've made will affect about 500,000, not millions, as she had indicated. It's about 500,000 people, most of whom are in New York. So I understand that. It's because New York state policy chose to link heating assistance, food assistance in a way that has provided extra help on food assistance. But it was not the way the program was intended. And so I appreciate the fact that she's in a difficult situation because majority of those impacted are in New York, and I very much respect that. But I would argue that the way it's been designed or used was not the way it was intended, and that we have to be credible when we put forward programs. And I think there's an issue there that needs to be solved. Yes. Immediately. We are in a unique situation where the leader has agreed with me that it's important to move the farm bill quickly so we have maximum amount of time, assuming the House acts, to get it into conference. And so I'm delighted to say that as we finish up the water bill, water resources bill, WERDA today, we will immediately go to the farm bill. Here and then here. Yes.
You
Well, we have, of course, in cotton, we've done, you know, a crop insurance form program for them, for cotton, a stacks program that addresses the concerns on Brazil and so on. Rice and peanuts have been given a fixed price under what we're calling the AMP, Adverse Marketing Program. And then for the rest of the crops, they would be able to get what has traditionally been called a target price. We put in the same numbers as 2008, but we would do it not on a fixed number, but on what's called a five-year Olympic average, basically, a rolling average. And so it would be 55% of the average of, you know, how that works in terms of the five. County by county. Chris, is it county by county? I don't know. I know it's 55% of the average, probably. But I, you know what? We can find out. I think it's. Yeah. So I think that, and that's county by county. So it's, and that's the other thing that we did, from a policy standpoint, the same Olympic average to determine what has traditionally been called a target price in the price program, the AMP program, the new program we put in, is the same five-year rolling Olympic average that we put in the risk management program, the yield loss program. So from policy standpoint, I really believe that we have hit what I would call the sweet spot of the commodity title, of being able to address the concerns about being market-oriented, but also understanding different regions and those that currently would be adversely affected if we were simply moving to stronger crop insurance, which, frankly, I hope over time we can do. I hope that there are products that are developed that make sense for rice and peanuts in every commodity. I have commodities in Michigan, cherries, that aren't covered, and so and others. So we, I think, need to really push RMA to develop products that make sense for all crops so that we can eventually move in the direction of crop insurance.
Folks, we have time for one more question.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, thank you so much for being here today and joining us.
Absolutely.
Ron Hayes out of Oklahoma City, Radio Oklahoma Network. Beyond nutrition, what are you really anticipating will be the big battles on the floor? What are you preparing for right now in that floor action?
Well, I think nutrition obviously will be a big one. I think we may see some amendments, as we did in committee, related to the commodity title to take out the new AMP program or the target prices. We could see that. I'm not sure we will, but we could see that. You know, we actually have strong consensus around conservation. I'm very proud of what we did in the conservation title, and it's very similar to the House. It's an area where we worked closely on ever since the super committee, where we came together and agriculture was the only budget that came up with deficit reduction back in the super committee. We've got strong conservation efforts. We've so much of the rest of the bill, I think, is very, very close. We do add something based on really a historic agreement between the commodity groups and the conservation groups to link conservation compliance to crop insurance, as we do for the other commodity titles. Right now, in the commodity title, we've always had conservation compliance, but not in crop insurance. And I think what's significant is that we've looked at concerns that farmers have had, excessive fines, the way it's calculated, how far you can go back. You know, it's a perspective going forward. Farmers have time to mitigate and change and become compliant before fines would take effect. So we looked at how, you know, the problems currently and how to fix those and make it more fair for farmers. But in agreeing to that, the conservation groups all agreed as well not to support any cuts in crop insurance. And so the one other area where we could see, we saw Colburn amendments last time and so on to cut crop insurance. Jeff Flake has an amendment that would cut, or a bill that would cut $40 billion out of crop insurance. So likely that would be the other area, is in crop insurance, where we would see proposals for major cuts. I'm hopeful that the coalition that's come together around the commodity groups and conservation groups you know, will be enough to convince the majority of members that we need strong crop insurance, but the policy of tying it to conservation is a very positive one. It's fixed. I mean, it's positive in its approach and that we need to keep it. So, but I would guess crop insurance. And the other thing I would say is we always have the perennial sugar amendment. And so we will have a debate again on sugar policy. And as a very strong supporter of the no taxpayer money sugar program, you know, I'm obviously very hopeful that we can maintain that.